All right, good morning. Okay, most everyone here will already know us, but in case there are some visitors, we're the Maietas. My wife, Jenny. We have our three children, Frankie, Ariana, and Katie. They were all born here in Shelby. Acts chapter 14, this morning, in your Bible, just very briefly, we want to start with one verse of Scripture. We'll be looking at a few passages of Scripture, but I have one specific goal in mind, and that is to transmit to you or to share with you some of the things that Lord has done over the last 11 years in Italy. 14 years ago, this was our first missions conference as a young, newly appointed couple with Baptist World Mission. I remember Pastor Camp back then telling me in September, I want you to apply for the mission board, and I want you to present your ministry in November. That was the first time we had talked about it and thought about it. That's not the time to start putting things together, you know, in September, when in October is the annual meeting, and then in November is the missions conference. So we jumped through some flaming hoops. The Lord blessed. And 14 years ago, we presented our ministry for the very first time right here at Maranatha Baptist Church. And we look over now the last 11 years on the field. And I'll read this verse, and it says, "And when they were come," speaking of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, after their first missionary journey, "and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." I want to take you back to about 11 years ago, when we arrived in the field. Now this evening, and we're going to show a brief video, you'll see some testimonies of some people in our church, people that have gotten saved since we've been there, and just some visual as to go with what I'm telling you this morning. And then I'll just spend a few minutes tonight giving some update on the ministry there in Italy. But I want to take you back to 11 years ago when we arrived. We attended our last missions conference here before leaving for the field. I believe it was October or November time frame in 2006. And we had been ordained here by the church. And I remember we packed up all of our belongings. We got rid of most things. We didn't have very much because we knew we were going to the field. And Jenny and I tried not to accumulate very many things because we knew we were going to the field shortly. And so I remember driving away from our house there on Tallert Road, and Brother Nathan Dietrich drove us to the airport. And when we arrived in Italy, we had 10 suitcases, 3 babies. Frankie was only 3 years old, and Ariana was 2, and Katie was not even 1 year old. And when we arrived there, a double stroller, a regular stroller, several carry-ons, and my mom arrived in Rome with a little Ford Fiesta to pick us up. Fortunately, she had asked her neighbor to come along, who had a little bit larger car, but that man was an atheist, Giuliano Falossi, my mom's neighbor. So I rode in the car with this atheist man all the way from Rome, the two-hour drive north. When we got to Italy, I had lived in Italy as a junior high schooler. And I had gone to school there. I learned the language in Grosseto. And I did not want to go to Grosseto because my mother and father had a home there. I had many friends there. I did not want it to be a mama called, daddy sent type situation. And I didn't want it to be the easiest thing for us to do. I wanted to go wherever God wanted us to go. And to be honest, Grosseto was not on my list of where I was willing to go. We had decided we were going to go to language school and work with a veteran missionary for a year. But when we arrived, we immediately began looking into a language school for Jenny. I already had a good foundation in the language. So when we got there, we looked into the language school. And I told my mom when we arrived there, I said, "Mom, we're not coming to Grosseto." Now, she was expecting us to come. And we had done a survey trip in Grosseto a few years before. And when we got there, she says, "What do you mean you're not staying in Grosseto? You're not going to start the church in Grosseto?" I said, "Mom, listen, we decided we're coming to Italy, but I'm not 100% certain we're coming home." She said, "Well, I don't know what you're going to do with the 15 people on Sunday morning that are waiting to hear you. They've been waiting for you." So we decided, now there were only 3 saved individuals, my mom, a neighbor that she had led to Christ, and another young Christian lady who my mother had taken in, who had fallen on hard times. My mom took her in a home. But there were about 12 other unsaved people there that my mother had been witnessing to. And so this evening you'll see a picture in the video of a table setting with us studying there. That picture was taken in the very first service or the very first couple of services we had there in my mother's dining room. And so we had the service there. We had a Bible study there that Sunday. And this was not exactly our plan. So Jenny and I started talking, called back to the home church. What should we do? This is different than what we had originally planned. And then we decided we would pray for 1 month, and we would determine what the Lord wanted us to do. And so we said by December 31st, we're going to make our decision whether we'll stay in Grosseto or go work as planned. And the Lord, on that very first Sunday morning, Jenny had been in Italy for 5 days. She wrote herself on Saturday a Sunday school lesson. There was a six-year-old girl that showed up for Sunday school. Jenny had written a one-page lesson in pencil. I had helped her translate it. And on Sunday morning, Jenny taught Sunday school in Italian, reading it off of that page that she had written and I had helped her translate. That was 5 days after we arrived at the field. Now, that is not the conventional way to start on the field. We feel the Lord led specifically. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. We began praying, Lord, do you want us in Grosseto? Do you want us to go as planned? Our church had prayed. We had plans to go to language school for Jenny and work with a veteran missionary. And we began praying. The Lord, in my devotions, spoke to my heart when I came across this passage right here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, the elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Listen to this. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The Lord used that passage to confirm in my heart He wanted us to not turn our backs on that little flock, but to feed it and to stay there. So the missionary that I was going to move to and work under for the first year, I did not see him till 9 months later. We just literally called him up and said, the Lord has changed our plans. I apologize. And he was extremely gracious and very supportive, although he was waiting for us with open arms. And so during that first month, we saw our first convert, which was Christina, a Romanian lady who now lived in Grosseto, and she was the first one. And then her daughter was Anita. And Anita brought Luca, her dad, to church a few months later, and several people were saved during those first few months. Now, that was 10 years ago, 11 years ago. 11 years ago next month. I want to go back. How did we get to 11 years ago? So, how did we arrive on the field? What led us there? Well, back in 1968, there was a young man in the Chicago neighborhood that had a burden for Italian souls. Now, my parents were from southern Italy, immigrated to Chicago in the early 1960s. They actually knew each other from back home, but they married in Chicago, raised a family. There was a lot of trouble in the family at that time, and they were having difficulty. And this young man by the name of Paul Volley, not Italian, just burdened for Italians, started knocking on doors in Melrose Park, just south of O'Hare Airport in the Chicago area, and came across my parents' door and appointed my mother to a local Bible preaching church. And on Easter Sunday morning, 1968, my mother got saved. First time she ever walked into a Bible preaching church. She had three little children. I was born a few years later. And so I was raised in a good Christian church, and I came to know the Lord as my Savior at a young age. And in 1985, before we moved to Italy, I was baptized. And my family decided, 1985, 86, decided that they would move to Italy for various reasons, not to be missionaries. But they wanted to move. They thought it would help our family situation. So in 1986, my parents moved to Grosseto, Italy. I was an 11-year-old boy. I was a very patriotic young man. I wanted to be a Marine. From the time I was a child, I thought that I would like to do that. And so when I moved to Italy in 1986, that wasn't exciting for me at all. Although it is a beautiful area where we live, it was a tremendous culture shock for me. My parents put me in the middle school, and I didn't speak a word of Italian. And I remember having quite a bit of difficulty learning how to speak the language just by getting thrown in the middle of a school year in sixth grade. And but the Lord was using that in my life, no doubt. There was a charismatic church, a really extreme type of church, where the Bible really was not preached at all. We began attending there to begin with, but my mother realized there was really no Bible being taught there. And so we began having family devotions at home. And my mother opened up the hymnal, the living hymns, just like you have here, and our Bible. And she would make us sing, "Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord." And I remember as an 11-year-old boy struggling with that. Some of you have heard this testimony before. Well, anyway, after a few years, I went back to the States for high school because I was not doing well in Italian high schools with my reading speed. High school was not mandatory at that time. Came back to the States, graduated high school in 1992. But I remember when I moved back to Chicago, at this point, I was now weeping because now I missed Italy. You see, I didn't want to move to Italy to begin with, but after 3.5 years, it became home. And now I was living as a 15-year-old boy away from my family, lived with an aunt for several years. And I didn't understand what God was doing in my heart. As a teenager, I drifted away from the Lord. I got into the world, and I wasn't living for God the way I should have been. But in 1992, I graduated high school, joined the Marines, and the Lord used my time in the Marine Corps in Aviano, Italy, where there was a BIMI missionary that had started in the Fundamental Baptist Church. And it was the first independent Baptist church I'd ever walked in my life. And God changed my life through that church right there. I want to point out this this thing. 2 years ago, when I was here on furlough, I preached about the life of Joseph. And here was my point, that God gave Joseph a dream, and then God used Joseph's life to fulfill that dream when Joseph really had no idea all of God's plan. And the point is this, that God will do amazing things with your life if you'll simply follow Him and let Him lead you and obey Him. Well, in 1995, in that same Independent Baptist Church where the Lord had turned my life around, I got right with the Lord, and I started attending church and reading my Bible, and that's when I became an Independent Baptist, was in Aviano, Italy. And I attended my very first missions conference when Dr. Jeff Alverson preached a missions conference there. Very first time I'd ever been in a missions conference. I just surrendered my life to the Lord, and not to be a pastor, not to be a missionary or a preacher, but just say, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I won't say no anymore." I wrote that in the front of my Bible December 1st, 1995. As soon as I surrendered to the Lord, I began having a burden on my heart for Italy that really has never gone away. I thought in America, and by the way, America is a very needy mission field. You're on the front lines of world evangelism as soon as you step out those doors. I want you to know that. And it's not getting better. The United States needs a revival. This church needs a revival. You need a revival. And that's the only way this land will ever be able to send out missionaries around the world. But I thought about Italy. Who will tell them? And I believe that the Lord had been preparing me in my life to lead me to then what He was going to call me to do. And so I came here in 1997, 20 years ago. I walked on the campus and took a Pentateuch with Dr. Childs for the very first my very first semester. And now here we are 20 years later. And what has God done? Matthew 28. Turn over with me to Matthew 28. After graduating in 2002, and Jenny and I had been married in 2001, and we were appointed in 2003 with Baptist World Mission, we began deputation, and we finally left for the field in November of 2006. But Matthew 28, verses of Scripture that you know very well, but here's what's important about Matthew 28. It says, excuse me, it says, "All power is given to me," verse 18, "in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." if Jesus goes with me, I can go anywhere. And that's the comfort that we took with us as we went to Italy. And so I want to tell you now what has happened in from 2006 until now. Now, we began immediately after that first month. After the first 5 days, we began services in my mother's living room. We began looking for an apartment. We got established. Jenny signed up for a local language school. She didn't speak a word of Italian before we left for Italy. But in a period of about a year, year and a half, she studied intensely and became fluent in the language. We had determined, and many missionaries won't do this, but we had determined that until a church was constituted, was founded, was chartered, we would not take any offerings because we didn't want money to ever be an issue between us and the national folks. And so we just began doing Bible studies and buying tracts and giving out literature. And at our own expense, and in 2008, a group, Pastor Camp and others from this church, came over to Italy, and we had our charter service in May of 2008, where we baptized our first five believers there in the Mediterranean Sea. That was a special time. And on that next Sunday, after having baptized those five, we chartered the church, and then that day we took our very first offering. And the people had been saving and giving because they knew I didn't want to take up offerings. They had been doing it anyway because it's natural for a Christian to give. And so they took up an offering over 1,500 euro and gave it on that very first day that we chartered the church. And therefore, we rented a facility and we began to outgrow that facility. Our co-workers joined us after a couple of years in 2009. Brother Larry Peary, a supported missionary of this church, his wife passed away tragically of ovarian cancer in 2009. He joined us in 2010, and the church began to grow. We began looking at expanding and finding a facility where we could hold services. And then the Lord impressed on our hearts the three missionaries that were working there. Turn over to Esther. We thought about this. How unique is it for three missionaries, Brother Godfrey, to work together in harmony? That doesn't happen. I don't know of any other missionary that is working with another couple. I don't know. Now, there probably are around the world, but I don't personally know any. And we had three missionaries in one city. And to be perfectly honest with you, I believe there are several reasons why we saw fruit when we got to Italy initially. Number one reason was when we got to Italy, and this is what I meant to say when I read Matthew 28, when we got to Italy, not only did Jesus go with us, we found out he was already there when we got there. But prior to even arriving on the field, there had been 20 years of prayer leading up to our arrival on the field. Now, the idea was never for Frank Maeda to be the answer to the prayers started in 1986. We had hoped that someone would have gone long before we ever arrived on the field, but certainly we're glad to be able to have the privilege of working there in 2006. And so I believe that also having co-laborers in the ministry. And you put all of that together, the prayer and the Lord working in hearts and the co-laborers, I believe all of that really is the reason why we got to see so much fruit in those early days. But in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, we began praying about our needs there for a facility. And verse 14 is what kind of the Lord impressed on my heart. It says, "For if thou altogether," you know this is Mordecai talking to his niece, Esther, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Lord impressed my heart with this verse right here and this concept, but that we were living in a really unique moment. And I believe we needed to do something that would remain because we had a very unique opportunity. So we began praying about the possibility of purchasing a facility. And so as we looked, we were only renting for 700 euro a month. We began looking, and everywhere we looked for rent was 3,000 euro on up, and we couldn't afford that. So we just began praying. We decided, okay, we will just start saving as a church. And we were recommended, and it was a very long process to determine that we would do this. We just sent out one prayer letter and just told what we were going to do. And as a result of that, several funds started coming in. We were not begging for funds from without, but we were simply stating what the Lord was doing in our heart and in our ministry there in Italy. Well, there was one anonymous donor that gave one check to Brother Larry Peary, not to us, not to Paul Childers, but to Brother Larry Peary, a widowed man, missionary, for the amount of $190,000 from one of his supporting churches. And we don't even know who that person is. And so that we were able to purchase in cash the facility that we'd been renting all of those years. Now, but we needed to expand. That wasn't enough of space, it wasn't. And so we went ahead, and with the funds that we had raised and other funds that had come in through our contacts and our other co-workers' contacts, we were able to purchase the building next door, just a storefront. Our entire facility would fit inside this auditorium. We have a basement, we have a loft area just like that. It would be very similar to what you have there in this auditorium on both sides. And we were able to purchase both of those buildings only borrowing closing costs. So we borrowed less than 10%. And October 1st, our last payment for our three-year loan was paid off. And so both those buildings, value of approximately $300,000. Now, property value, unfortunately, in Italy is very high. But we have a small but adequate facility at this time. I'm just saying what God has done. He took a burden, he took some prayer, and he did something absolutely miraculous. Brother Larry Peary began reaching out to the African refugees. You know about the refugees in Europe. It's a terrible, terrible situation in Europe. Thousands of refugees coming over every day. Many of them do not make it. Never has the verse in Revelation been so real to me where it says that one day the sea will give up its dead. The Mediterranean Sea is going to give up its dead one day before the great white throne judgment. There are hundreds and hundreds of refugees and Nigerians especially that don't ever make it to the mainland of Europe. But Brother Larry Peary reaches out to those. We have several camps around our church area in our driving distance away, and he conducts chapel services. We conduct chapel service in our church on Saturday in the English language, trying to reach these men who are primarily Nigerian, but also of other countries in Africa. We don't have enough room to minister to all the refugees that are around us. I mean, if I wanted to start a Nigerian church, we could have 100 people every week, no kidding. Now, our church congregation is smaller, but that is an endless job. Someone could come over next week and fly over with us and have a full-time ministry preaching every day of the week and leading people to Christ and baptizing. I could show you pictures of baptism that was conducted just last week, Brother Larry Peary. If you want to reach people for Christ, come to Italy and start preaching to the Nigerian refugees that are over around our area. You have plenty of work to do and plenty of opportunity to share the gospel there, and that's what we're attempting to do. Brother Larry Peary does it full time, and we help him as well as reaching the Italians. Now, after that, and here's what we realize. Here's what we realize. The harvest in Italy is plenteous. Now listen, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Matthew chapter 9. We look in the mission field, and Pastor Godfrey, Dr. Godfrey, knows that 99.99, if not 100% of all missionaries will tell you, how's your mission field? Mission field is difficult. Listen, Pastor Davidson, how's the mission field out here in Shelby? Of course they're difficult, because there are many difficulties. You're dealing with deeply entrenched religious beliefs, traditions, highly intellectual mentality. Very complex and bureaucratic systems that we have to try to get through in order to be able to simply minister. There are many difficulties. There's an economic situation. Listen, moving to Italy is not like moving to Mexico. It's not like moving to a third world country. It's more expensive to live in Italy. We live in an 850 square foot apartment, and that apartment is probably worth 300,000 euro. That's expensive. So there are many difficulties, but we've found that wherever the gospel is preached, we always have the same three reactions that the Apostle Paul had when he was in Athens. Some mock. Some say, we'll hear you again on this matter. And others clave unto him. And that's the same response we get in Italy. And now we have seen some fruit in Italy, and I praise God for that, because I think there's some concentration of laborers, and we're working together. And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, the laborers are few. That's the problem with the mission field. That's the reason why that shall be as difficult, because there needs to be more laborers getting involved in the community, reaching others with the gospel. That's the great need. In 2015, a young missionary family, Tacons, Joey and Jenny Tacon, finally arrived on the field. They had come over a couple years before on a survey trip. Really, it began with a missions trip with just Brother Joey Tacon in 2009. He felt the Lord leading him to Italy. Came back a couple years later with his wife and family. They said, we are going to go to Italy as missionaries. And they arrived in 2014, December 2014. And they came and helped us. That was the fourth missionary family in our church. And they began learning the language. And 1 year ago, in November, will be 1 year that they started full services in Pisa, which is an hour and a half drive north of Grosseto. Now, on the west coast of Italy, if you have the boot of Italy in your mind, halfway up on the west coast is Rome. We're an hour and a half drive north of Rome on the west coast. Another hour and a half drive north of us is Pisa. And in the city of Galileo Galilei, the city of the Leaning Tower, we have a Bible preaching church there now. And by the way, just this past Tuesday night, Joey Tacon called me on WhatsApp and he said, Frank, you wouldn't believe it. Four young people from the university showed up to our Bible study at 9 o'clock. And we spent 2 hours dealing with them about assurance of salvation and so on. So he is so excited. Brother Joey Tacon doesn't have an assistant. He doesn't have a music man. He doesn't have really a pianist. Now, I want to say this. His daughter, 18-year-old, she's doing the best she can. And she's trying really hard, and she's learning to play the piano. But they need a music man. They need someone that is going to come alongside them and help them. You don't have to be a missions major to go to Italy to be a missionary. You just need to be a servant. And perhaps you have some talent that God could use there on the mission field. By the way, yesterday, Quincy helped my wife record some Italian songs to record onto a CD. Why? Because Joey Tacon uses a recording of my wife singing the song, some hymns right out of the hymnal with the piano, so that they can use that. Well, don't you think it would be a blessing if someone who says, hey, I can go to Italy and play the piano and maybe just be a church member there, and you could either go there supported, and you might be able to get a job. I wouldn't recommend that. It'd be probably more difficult to do that. But maybe you'd be willing to go help that church get planted. It's not even 1 year old. That church needs laborers, that church in Pisa. We could start as many churches in Italy as we had pastors. And we are praying, Brother Paul Childers and I are praying, that couples, multiple couples, will decide to work together and go to a city, and we'll give them all the resources we have. By the way, talking about resources, we don't order our Sunday school material from regular Baptist Press or any other kind of source, because it doesn't exist in Italian. Only in Italy do they speak Italian, but there are 60 million people. So we translated, along with the Childers and the Pieris, in a five-year period it took us to translate a Becca's Bible program as our Sunday school material. And now, with a little file, we just hand that to them with Rebecca's permission to hand that to the new missionary, and they have 5 years of Sunday school material to be able to do that. You might be able to come and just use those materials. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. We did. We reinvented it. I wish we didn't have to, but now I'm glad that new missionaries coming to the field don't have to. And when it comes to music, my wife writes scripture songs in Italian scripture songs, choruses, and so on. And so now there is a little bit of music that you can start a church with there in Italy. So that is basically what is happening right now. So that brings us to 2017. Well, there's still much work to do. What are we going to do? Turn over to Luke chapter 14. Last year, we had a missions team decide to come to Italy from Huntsville, Alabama, to help us in any way we thought might be useful. And so Brother McLaughlin's church sent over a group, and we decided we were going to put on concerts. We did a concert in our church. We did a concert in the local area in a community center. We put on a concert inside a restaurant near the beach in Grosseto, Italy, last year, 2016, September, because the owner of the restaurant was a neighbor of Joey Tacon's, and he said, sure, I'll let you come and provide the music. And so we sang gospel songs live in that restaurant in last year, and we actually offered to pay half price of all the pizzas that were purchased during that time. As a church, we did that just to get the name of the church out, just to show people the love of God, and that they would have an idea that the church is not something crazy or something. And so we did that, and that was successful. We had a lot of contacts out of that. But at the end of that missions trip, at the end of that time when those people had come to help us, my mind went over to Luke chapter 14. And I want to read this passage, beginning in verse 16. And then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and some of his servants, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one accord, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go and prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Now, I don't want to go into the theological interpretation of this passage, but here's the verse that the Lord worked in my heart. The very next verse. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. In 2006, we went to the field to do this very thing. You know, the nation of Israel, in large part, has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, now go out and get those that are unclean and bring them in. And go into the streets and the lanes and tell them to come in that my house may be full. And we went to Italy attempting to fulfill this command right here. And after 10 years, the church was established. Some material had been gathered. The facility was paid for. And we began asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have? I mean, look, there are still empty chairs in our church. Lord, we have done, I really sensed that we had accomplished, and I don't want to be misunderstood, but I believe the Lord sent us to Italy for a specific reason. That was to start the church there in Grosseto. And last year, after 10 years, I felt, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, but there's still room. And Lord used that missions team that came over for me to realize there is still a lot of work to do in the Grosseto area. And this is, we'll go on in the passage. And yet there is room. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And so the Lord spoke to my heart last year in this, saying, okay, what do we do now? You go out further off the beaten path, and you use more persuasive means, and you continue to do the same thing that you're doing, because there are still people that need to be reached. Now, I'm not talking about there's still room just in our church. There's still room in heaven for souls that need to be saved. And we want to continue working there in Grosseto and in Italy not until our church is full, but until heaven is full. Now, Luke chapter 5, the other night, Brother Godfrey talked about Luke chapter 5, and the Lord just really touched my heart with that passage, with the same concept, when he said, go fish. And he said, Lord, we've been fishing all night. We haven't taken up anything. He says, just do it again. Just do it some more. And then what happened? Then they brought up that great drought of fish. And so those two passages, I believe, go together. And that's the burden of the Lord. So what is our plan right now? Is to continue to do and to just go out further into now, not just in the cities, not just on the lanes, not just on the highways, but now go off the highway into the hedges and compel them, constrain them, convince them to come in so that the Lord's house will be filled. Now, there's still much work to do. And finally, what is our motivation? Turn over to 1 Corinthians. I shared this with some of the people at the college the other day. What is our motivation? The Lord commanded us to go. We have a duty. We're going to give an account one day when we stand before the Lord. Souls are dying and going to hell. All of those, I just named about four or five different motivations. All of those are good motivations for going to the field. But let me tell you why I am on the mission field today. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You know that word, agape, love. The reason why I'm a missionary in Italy is simply for love's sake. God's love for me. If Jesus loved me so much, how can I not live for Him? Amen. How can I do anything less than love Him? Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Love is the greatest motivation in my mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Those are the verses the Lord used in my heart, along with others, that very first missions conference, in 1995, and those are still the same thoughts that the Lord is using in our hearts to keep us on the field. So what is our plan? 1 Corinthians again, chapter 15, verse 58. This is for the church. This is for you. Therefore, based on everything that we've said of what God has done, not just in the last 11 years, but in the last 53 years, and everyone has their own decades to tell about what the Lord has done. But based on all of that, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It has not been in vain that this church sent us out with so much love and so much care and so much effort. It's not been in vain. It's not been in vain. There's still room in the church in Italy. There's still room in heaven. And we need to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, this is not the time to stop. That's what that verse is telling us. The good old days are not past. We are now living the good old days. Amen. And so, this is not the time to stop. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for what you have done, not only in the last 11 years in our lives, but what you've done here in this church, what you're doing right now. Father, I pray that this church would be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord until you return. And I pray that for myself, for my family, our church in Italy, every individual here, Lord, because your name is worthy to be published. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.